Maybe you got to a point in your life when you thought, I remember the negative experiences really well, but I don't hold on to the positive ones as well. What's wrong with me? The answer in most cases is nothing. There are reasons for the brain to hold on to the less pleasant moments with greater tenacity. And today's guest shares those reasons in his book, Hardwiring Happiness. Dr. Rick Hansen, Ph.D., is a neuropsychologist and the author of several books. In this one, we not only learn about the mechanisms of the brain, but how to work around them, hence the term hardwiring happiness. Dr. Rick Hansen, thanks for joining us on the Jefferson Exchange.
Jeffrey, it's a pleasure to be here, and please call me Rick, or I'll have to call you Mr. Riley.
Fair enough. Rick is
okay,
fine.
Good.
So one of the points right off the bat, the brain tells us lies. Is that what you're telling us?
In a sense, I mean, the brain was designed for one purpose, to keep animals alive under very, very harsh conditions. So part of that requires seeing opportunities, you know, quote-unquote carrots, like food or shelter and so forth. But it especially involves seeing, quote-unquote, sticks, like predators, aggression in a primate band, natural hazards, and so forth. That's because the so-called sticks in nature have more urgency and impact than the so-called carrots do. If you fail to get a carrot today, you'll have a chance at one tomorrow, but if you fail to avoid a stick today, whap, no more carrots forever. So now we have a brain with what scientists call a negativity bias. I call it, it's like Velcro for the bad, but Teflon for the good, and it means that we over-remember, we over-learn from, especially emotional learning, you know, kind of subconscious learning. We over-learn from our negative experiences, but unfortunately under-learn from our positive ones, even though our positive experiences are the primary source of the inner strengths we all want to develop inside, like resilience or a positive mood.
So is this why we remember the guy who cut us off in the parking lot at the movie theater, but not the great movie we watched for 3 hours before that?
100%. Or think about a relationship that's even more important, someone you live with or work with or sleep with, or in the case of my wife, all three. 10 things happen in a day. 5 are positive, 4 are neutral, 1 is negative. Which one do you think about as you're falling asleep? Or that's why research shows that good, strong relationships need at least a 5-to-1 ratio of positive to negative interactions.
So the reason, again, though, is you're going to change your behavior. Basically, this is a real biological level of those who do not remember the past are doomed to repeat it.
There you have Santayana's great quote. Yeah. And for me, the takeaway point here, so I'm a neuropsychologist and longtime therapist and teacher and parent and so forth. And what I've gotten really interested in is the actual how of personal growth. In other words, if you think about some quality you want to develop in yourself, you know, feeling more resilient, even-keeled, happier, more secure, more confident, what have you. The question really is, how do you grow it inside yourself? And that takes us to the brain and the ways in which the brain is actually quite poor at growing your qualities inside itself. So what my book's about is using the neuropsychology of learning in incredibly practical ways so that people can actually tap the hidden power in everyday experiences to begin to encode them in neural structure, thereby using, you know, half a dozen opportunities a day, a dozen seconds at a time, to grow these strengths inside themselves.
So, Rick, what kinds of training and exploration make you a neuropsychologist as opposed to just a plain old psychologist?
Yeah, it's I'm a plain old clinical psychologist, licensed in California, et cetera, PhD and all that. And in most states, a neuropsychologist is a more general term. And in my case, it means someone who has done a lot of work at the intersection between the mind and the brain. In particular, my focus is on cultivating and developing positive qualities in ourselves. Many neuropsychologists get involved in assessing negative events, like the impact of a concussion or a head injury in a car accident, say.
All right. Now, apparently, you stumbled upon this concept of how to take in the good in college. Tell us about that.
Sure. Well, I think we all know how to do what I call taking in the good, which is the simple process of helping a passing mental state become installed in your brain as a useful neural trait. That's a fancy way of saying or describing something that we all have done, which is, for example, having a moment where something good is experiencing, where we're feeling something good. Like, let's say we accomplished something or someone paid us a compliment or we have one of those moments, you know, under the stars that are particularly special. And we help it last. We'd say to ourselves, for example, hey, this one's a keeper. Let this one sink in. Or I really want to learn this good lesson here, whatever that is for us. Okay, we tend to do that somewhat informally, and I've gotten very interested in learning how to help the brain do it really well. I stumbled upon my own version of this, as you said there, Jeff, in college when I was really quite insecure. I was a totally shy, dorky kid growing up, very young, going through school, and I had a lot of experiences of being mistreated by other kids. You know, nothing horrible, but still, it added up. But in college, and then in adulthood and young adulthood especially, I learned that if I could just stay with an experience 10, 20 seconds straight of a, on the 0 to 10 intensity scale, a 1 or a 2, you know, a realistic, authentic, mild, positive experience. A girl would smile at me. Some guys would say, hey, let's go get pizza, whatever. But if I stayed with it, I could gradually feel that this positive experience was, in effect, sinking into me. And then 20, 30 years later, I began to realize as a someone increasingly knowledgeable about the brain that I'd actually been restructuring my own brain in the process.
So really just something as simple as enjoying the smell of the air on a nice autumn day or the sun on your face. I mean, just taking a few seconds to do that begins that process?
Exactly right. It starts the process of transferring the experience from short-term memory buffers to long-term storage. But to do that, you really need to stay with it 10, 20, 30 seconds straight and help it be strong. But that's still a very enjoyable practice that's gradually rebuilding your brain.